Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Raiders and Patriots quarterback Mark Wilson. Let me give you some background on Mark. He's from Bremerton, Washington, played his college ball at BYU, where he was their first ever consensus All-American. He set the school record for most touchdown passes in a game with 7 against Colorado State in 1981. He was 22-4 as a starter, and he broke 9 NCAA records and tied 2 others while he was there. He set 4 Western Athletic Conference records in 1977 and led the WAC in passing and total offense. He was the Western Athletic Conference Player of the Year in 1979, and he finished 3rd that season in the Heisman Trophy balloting. Mark was a first-round draft pick, the 15th overall selection in 1980 by the Oakland Raiders, and he played in the league from 1980 to 1990 for the Raiders, Patriots, and Packers. He was a part of the Raiders Super Bowl championship teams in 1980 and 83, and we are honored that he is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Mark, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming on the show. Oh.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Mark, I actually want to start by going all the way back to your time in high school. I read that you were a 3-sport star. You played baseball, basketball, and football. And football was the sport that you were least good at. The article said your best sport was baseball, then came basketball, and then football. So how did you end up being a guy who set records at BYU and played over a decade in the NFL in the sport that you were least good at?
Yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, when I'm home back in Seattle, people often kind of ask me that same question, you know, how did you end up in football when you were really so much better known as a baseball player, certainly in high school and even growing up before high school. Yeah, I went to BYU on a football baseball scholarship. And, you know, after a couple of years, I decided just to stay with football. And the main reason was, you know, football at BYU was, that was just an incredible time to be there. They had incredible offensive coordinators, and I had an incredible offensive coordinator and a guy named Doug Scoville. And the game just became so fun to me. I just fell in love with the game. And frankly, before I got to college, you know, every high school kid thinks they know everything about the game, but I quickly realized I didn't know anything. And once I learned, you know, kind of what was being taught with this system at BYU, it just was really fun and felt like that really nobody could stop us on offense if we would just execute and do what we were supposed to do. And you kind of need to learn how to figure that out. But once you did, it was really an incredibly fun system to play in. And that's really how I ended up in football at BYU. And then, of course, it went on from there to the NFL.
And Mark, I also read that you were leaning towards going to USC, but at the last minute, they canceled your recruiting visit. Is that what happened?
Well, my senior year of high school, I broke my jaw in the 3rd game. And so I only played like 2.5 games my senior year. Prior to that time, I was being recruited by a lot of teams. And one of those teams was USC. And the night before I was to go down for a recruiting visit, they had a guy from Southern California commit as a quarterback. And then they called me and said that, you know, they didn't need me to come. But probably, you know, more than likely, if they had offered me a scholarship, probably more than likely I would have gone there. Yeah, I would have gone to USC.
And Mark, when you were at BYU, you were there at the same time as Gifford Nielsen and Jim McMahon. What was it like competing with those guys for the starting job?
Well, that was the other amazing thing, you know, and of course we didn't know, you know, all I knew is that I had never seen guys like this before in my life. I mean, you walked out to practice and there were a few more guys. I mean, we had a guy from Walnut Creek, California, a guy named Dan Hartwig, who was 6'5", weighed 230, can throw it about 75 yards. He came in the same year I came in. So there was, and Dan Hartwig actually transferred out of BYU. I can't remember where he went. It was a school in California, ended up getting drafted, I think, in the 12th round by the 49ers and was there in their training camp. So we had some really talented guys, which only meant that, you know, when you went to practice, you had to show up ready to play or you're going to get embarrassed. But the other thing that was great about it is that they were great guys. So we pushed each other, but it was very supportive. It was a great room in the quarterback room. We learned together. And in my situation and Jim's, you know, we had Gifford to kind of follow. And Gifford was phenomenal. His senior year, he hurt his knee against Oregon State. and didn't finish the year. It was about midway through the season, but prior to that time was leading the nation in every offensive category, was leading the nation in the Heisman Trophy voting, you know, kind of thing. And I, to this day, I've maintained that if Gifford had not been hurt, he would have won the Heisman Trophy in 1977. That's how good he was, and that's the guy that we kind of learned from, kind of followed his lead.
Bob, questions for Mark?
Mark, it's great to speak with you. I want to get back a little bit to being a multi-sport athlete because Chris and I talked to so many guys, Mark, about the different things they take from the different sports that makes them a better athlete in the sport that they ultimately specialize in. Just wanted to know, what do you think helps you play football better by participating in other sports?
Well, you know, I'm an old guy now, and my generation of guys, I mean, that's just what we did. I mean, even if we wanted to, or even if I wanted to, there was no way I could have played baseball year-round because it just wasn't offered, or football year-round, or basketball year-round. Just not how it was in those days, which in my situation was great because, you know, after, you know, halfway through the season of football, I was kind of bored with football, and I couldn't wait to start playing basketball. And then halfway through the basketball season, I was kind of getting bored with basketball and couldn't wait to get to the baseball season. And it just kind of went that way. But we ended up playing year round, but we changed sports about every 3.5-4 months, which for me, again, was a great thing because it kept me interested. It kept me active. And I think the biggest thing, you know, that I learned from participating in those other sports was to compete, was to get along with people, was to be a teammate, which was, you know, to be a leader on different teams, to deal with different personalities and different guys and, you know, figure it out. But I was fortunate in the Seattle area at that time where I grew up. We had a lot of young families where I lived, which meant we had a lot of kids on to try out for these teams that I was, you know, on from Little League on. And we had great teams all the way up through high school. And so that was really fun too, to kind of be involved in or be a part of kind of a winning culture and environment for year after year after year, which just was expected. That's what you did, you know? And I think, you know, that some of those things rubbed off and carried on, you know, with me as I went, you know, to college and into the pros.
And Mark, your college coach, Lavelle Edwards, I always thought was one of the more underrated coaches to ever come down the pike, especially here in the East Coast. We didn't hear about him as much until he started winning a lot and winning bowl games and sending all these great quarterbacks to the NFL. The guy was at Brigham Young forever, won over 250 games, I believe. Tell us more about this guy. What made him so good?
Well, you know, as great a coach as Lavelle was, he was even a better man. And I'm just so proud that I was able to spend, you know, a few years with him at BYU. But then even after I left BYU, my wife and I have been very close friends of he and Patty's, his wife Patty, for, you know, since we were at BYU. And they really were like parents to us. But not just us. I mean, everybody felt that way about Lavelle and Patty. He came along at a perfect time in my life, just because of all the things he taught me about being a man, being a husband. I married my wife when I was in college, about being a father, about all kinds of things that were unrelated to football, which were just so important for me to see, to have modeled for me at that time in my life. And I think that's why, you know, people responded so well to him and to his leadership on the football field, because you knew that he cared about you in such a, you know, strong and profound way that you would do anything for the man. He certainly got the best out of me. And I think he got the best out of just about everybody that went through that program. And that's what made him such a special, special person, special, special coach.
Mark, you get drafted in the first round by the Raiders in 1980, a season where you guys would go on to win the Super Bowl. Before the season, they traded Kenny Stabler to the Oilers. They get Dan Pastorini. So you come in to compete with Pastorini and Jim Plunkett at quarterback. What was that like?
Oh, it was fantastic. And you know, David Hum was there too. David was a great player at Nebraska. Just even a great player, you know, in the NFL. A great guy, great teammate. It was amazing to be there. There wasn't a lot of pressure on me because, of course, Dan was there and Jim was there, and those are the guys they were really counting on. Dan started, Dan, you know, it was so fun to watch guys at that level, because Dan just had a rocket for an arm. And so you go to practice and just, he'd make some throws that, you know, I'd just never seen made before. That was amazing. But that team was so talented. You know, we weren't expected to win the Super Bowl going into the season, but that team was so incredibly talented that, you know, it's just, I couldn't wait to go to practice and watch these guys, let alone compete with them. We had a kind of a turning point in that year. You know, you won't remember this, nobody would, but we actually, at one point in the fifth game, we played Kansas City at home, and Dan broke his leg and we lost the game, and we, on our record, fell to 2-3, and it didn't look good for us, right? We just lost our starting quarterback. Jim came in and played the second half, but Jim hadn't played for a long time, so nobody knew what was going to happen there. And we were in, you know, in an interesting situation, a tough situation. And we came in the following week, and Gene Upshaw, the great Gene Upshaw, was one of our captains. He called a team meeting, and he wrote up on a whiteboard in that room, and he wrote, 13-3, we'll still win it. I'll never forget that, because we, you know, again, we just, our record just dropped to 2-3. We just lost our starting quarterback. Nobody knew what was going to happen. No one knew how Jim was going to play. And here Gene Upshaw is writing on this whiteboard, 13-3, we'll still win it. And we were in that room for a couple hours talking about that, you know, sentiment of 13-3, we'll still win it. We came out of the room, and I'm not going to say we all believed we weren't going to lose again that year. But one thing I can say is that guys weren't willing to give up. And we won a couple games. We got some confidence. Jim got a lot of confidence and started playing great. We qualified as a wild card team and became the first team in NFL history to win the Super Bowl as a wild card team. And it really was unbelievable. Great experience to be a part of.
The you know, obviously Plunkett leads you guys to a Super Bowl title, but next season in week six, he goes down and you come in late in the game. And now suddenly you're the guy. What was it like taking over for Plunkett, not only being the quarterback of the Raiders, but also the team that's trying to now repeat as Super Bowl champions?
Yeah, and by the time that happened, I kind of felt like I was ready for that. I think, to be honest, my rookie season, I don't know that I would have felt that way. But by that time, I felt comfortable with what was happening and what we were doing and what I was trying to get accomplished and what they expected of me and all of that. So that was fortunate for me that, you know, that didn't come along too much earlier than that. If I remember right, I don't know that he broke his right thumb, but I'm sure he tore all the ligaments in his right thumb. And so that was, for a quarterback, pretty tough injury to have. I think we had a losing record that year, which I think was the first time in like 16 years the Raiders had a losing record. We had a lot of injuries coming off that Super Bowl year. But it was fun to play. It was amazing to play. It was amazing to play in the Coliseum in Oakland. What a great environment to play a game. And just playing in the NFL was just a dream come true for me, and playing with that team, because that was just a great team, great group of guys to play with. It was just, you know, just an amazing, amazing experience.
Mark, sort of looking at the game today, right? You know, back in the 80s, could you have ever imagined a time when quarterbacks would be getting paid $25 to $30 million a year?
No, to be honest. In fact, I remember having a conversation with Jim my rookie season, and Dan came over, and this was about the time they started tracking guys' salaries, and, you know, you could find out who was making what, and Jim said to me, "God, Dan, I think Dan's making about $300,000 a year, and wouldn't it be amazing if we could ever get to make a $300,000 a year?" And now, you know, it's just amazing where the salaries are. But, you know, I can't complain at all. And so I don't want it to sound like I am, because I was so grateful for what I was paid, you know, even during those days, because it was an incredible amount of money for that time, just like it's an incredible amount of money for this time. And I'm grateful that the game provided for me in a way that it did. And I'm frankly grateful for what it's doing for the guys today.
Bob, one more for Mark.
Sure, Mark. I was looking at a list of your old teammates, too, and I used to love watching the old Raiders. And one guy that just stood out, of course, was Ray Guy. And I'm a few years younger than you, but he was one of the first punters that ever wowed me when I just saw him, and the ball would actually go off the TV screen when he punted, unlike many other guys I've seen. And it was just an amazing guy to watch. Of course, one of the few punters now in the Hall of Fame. Tell us what it was like watching with him and playing with him.
Well, this will be the best way to describe that. So my dad and mom always lived up in the Seattle area. And when I played in the NFL, they would come down for a week on when we played back-to-back games. And my dad would come to practice. And the Raiders practices were always closed. But Mr. Davis was kind enough to let my dad come in and watch practice the week that he would come. And he came just once a year. He'd stay a week and catch the games on both weekends before he'd go back and have to go back to work. And you would think that your dad would come and watch you at practice, right? No, my dad would go and watch Ray Guy because he couldn't believe what was happening with Ray Guy. And he would stand there and watch Ray punt those balls and just be mesmerized. But everybody was. I mean, it truly was an incredible sight to see what this guy could do. But that's probably the best way to describe it. My own dad, who'd come down once a week to see me, would spend the time at practice watching Ray Guy.
Mark, before we let you go, we got to get your thoughts on the Raiders' chances next season. They got John Gruden back now, obviously, as head coach. What are your thoughts? What are you looking for out of the Raiders in 2018?
Well, I think they're an incredibly talented team. I played with Reggie McKenzie, so it's really fun to watch him and see what he's doing there. I love what Mark Davis has done. You know, I just think he's done some remarkable things and it's been amazing. You know, I love his approach. And I love the guys that they've assembled. They've got young talent, which is huge. They've got young talent in key positions, which is huge. And now bringing in Coach Gruden is just, I think, going to energize them even more. It's going to elevate the confidence level. And it's going to be fun to watch them. I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. No question about it in the AFC West. And if they can qualify and get themselves in the playoffs, you know, you never know what can happen. But with that quarterback, I mean, they can go a long way. So I'm excited about what's going to happen this year, and it's going to be exciting to watch them.
Mark, let our listeners know, what are you doing now?
I started a company about 5 years ago. It's located in Utah. It's a supplement company. The name of the company is Q Sciences. And I had an interesting conversation about 6 years ago with a doctor that I really have a great deal of respect for. And he said to me, Mark, today everybody should be taking supplements. So it used to be a question, should you take them or not? He said, that's not the question anymore. Today, there's no question. Everyone should be taking supplements. The question is, who do you trust to buy them from and what do you take? And I kind of took that to heart. And he gave me some stats to look up and found out that, you know, essentially he's right. He's right on the money. And so we started a supplement company and have some amazing products that help people be healthier. And by being healthier, they have a higher quality of life. And that's what we've been trying to do, is help people be healthy and have a higher quality of life the last 5 years.
So how can our listeners find out more information about it and follow you and your company online or over social media?
Well, they can find us, our webpage is Q sciences.com, and they can find us on Amazon. They can find us on, social media, Facebook. So anyway, they can find us, and we have just some great products that really do make a difference.
Well, Mark, it has been great having you as part of the show tonight. So many more things Bob and I would love to get your insights and memories about. We hope you'll come back and join us again sometime. You're fantastic.
Well, thanks for having me. I just want to say that, guys like me and my age, we've done a lot of this. And I love the question about Ray Guy, because the question usually is about Marcus, or it's about Bo, or it's, Ted Hendricks. And all those guys are deserving. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that team was full of guys that, could dominate our conversation tonight. First time I've been asked about Ray Guy in all these years, and so deserving to be asked about Ray Guy. I love the question, because Ray was phenomenal, and I love the fact that you guys recognize that. So thank you for that question.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, thank you so much for your time tonight. We hope we get the opportunity to have you back on the show again real soon. In between now and then, all the best to you and your family.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Good night.
All right. Take care, Mark. That is former BYU and Raiders quarterback Mark Wilson. That was fantastic, Bob. Really enjoyed Mark. Hopefully we get, the opportunity to get him back on the show again soon. So many other things to talk to him about, but boy, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. With the BYU alumni connection, we should we'll explore that next time. But great guy, Chris.
Yes, indeed. We look forward to having him back soon, like I say. All right, we've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Tony on the other side of this quick station break.